we're entering into the world of the very unusual Agadatas of Bava Basra, Daf Ayin Gimel. Which, by the way, I'm thinking, don't hold me to this, but I was thinking the first pieces in Likutei Maran are also all about these same Agadatas. So I was thinking maybe this semester we'll do the Vilna Gaon, and maybe next semester we'll do Rabbi Nachman. And we'll compare and contrast, we'll see where it goes. Okay, but the Gra left this world in 1797, I believe, and about 3 years after his patira, they published some of his writings on the Agadata. The original edition looked something like this: Pirush al Kama Agadas, published I think in the year 1800. And Kedarko B'Kodesh, anyone who's tried to enter into the world of the Vilna Gaon, his writings are very terse. There's a lot of room to try to unpack what he's saying. But the Vilna Gaon writes in some of his other writings that the purpose of the Agadata is one of two things. Either to convey lessons of Musar, or to be Megala Sodos of Torah, secrets of Torah. There are certain things that Chazal couldn't write openly, so they told them in these mysterious ways. Okay? So let's just jump right in. A couple of years ago, we did a series on the Vilna Gaon on the Parsha. We could talk forever just about who the Vilna Gaon was. But I often feel that I'm going to end up doing you a disservice because I'm not going to say the right things. And the best way to get to know a tzaddik or a Talmud Chacham or someone who is both Hagon HaChasid MiVilna Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh L'Vracha is by learning his Torah. Okay, so if the Chaver wants, by the way, you can order. This is the I'm using the Masadar of Cook edition, which I bought in Muncie. I think I got the last one, so you'll have to work that out. But let's see, okay? So the Gemara is in Bava Basra on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, let's learn the Gemara. You see on the page you have the Gemara right on top, just those four lines. You have the Rashbam printed alongside the Gemara, and then on the bottom you see the Bir Hagra. Okay, so let's see. Amar Rab. Now the stories in these Agaritas, in the Perakam Mocher Es Asvina, right, so as a person who sells a boat, what is included in the sale? And then the Gemara immediately, or not immediately, but pretty soon after, goes off on all these wild tangents about people at sea. So the Rabba in the story is Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Rabba, the grandson of Chana, it's an unusual name for a man, Chana. But Amar Rabba, let's see what happened. Ishto li nechuseyama. Ishto means I've been told, I've been informed. They told me. The Nechusayama, those who go down to the sea. In other words, people who travel by ship, they told me the following thing. Watch out for this. Hai gala dimitava lesvina. There's a certain gal. What's a gal?
Wave.
There's a wave that tries to what? To sink the boat, to drown the boat. Mitchazi kitsutsisa denura chivarta bereisha. Now, which type of wave do you have to watch out for? Mitchazi, it appears like a tsutsisa denura. It has like a white tzitzis, sounds like a tzitzis, right? It has like a white stripe. Chivarta, nura means fire. Tzitzis de nura, it's like a strip of fire. Chivarta beresha, with a white tip. Chivarta beresha, white on the top. Umachinan lei, and the way to defeat it is machinan lei, you strike it. Ba'alvasa dechokik alei, you take a staff. Dechokik alei, that is etched into it. Eheya Asher Eheya, it's the name of Hashem. Eka Asher Eka, I will be what I will be. That's the name that Hashem reveals to Moshe Rabbeinu when he says, what should I tell Bnei Yisrael your name is? Ka, Yurin Hei, Hashem Tzavakos. These three names of God. Eka Asher Eka, Yurin Hei, Hashem Tzavakos, Amen, Amen, Sela. You write that on a stick, and if you happen to see this wave coming at you, you strike back at the wave, you try to hit it, I guess, right on that white tip, and you strike it down, v'nayach, and then it'll settle, and it won't sink your ship. This is what Rav Bar Chana learned from those who go down to sea. Okay? I don't want to offer a pshat. Okay, let's see the Rashbam for a second. Yeah, you got this one, Yosef?
What's it? Reminds me of a water castle.
What's the water castle?
The Rav Nachman story.
Oh, the Rav Nachman story, the water castle. Okay, let's hear.
No, I don't know. It just reminds me of it.
Okay, I mean, Rabbi Nachman again spends a lot of time. This is mamash the beginning of Likutei Maran. He's busy with these Rabbi Bar Chana Agadatas. Okay, so let's see. Let's see what we can make of this. First, let's read the Rashi Bam. Amar Rabba, okay? Let's see. Amar Rabba Ishtoli. Kol Hani Uvde Dekachashiv. All of these stories. Now, it's a whole series. We're going to see. Each week, we're going to learn a different story from Rabba Bar Barachana. Each one gets wackier than the next. But they're all mamish secrets of Torah, Pnimiyas of Torah. So Kol Hani Uvde Dekachashiv. All of these stories that the Gemara is recounting. Mishum Mara B'Masech HaShem. Right, one reason to tell these stories is Rabba Bar Barachana saw or heard about wondrous things. And when you talk about wondrous things in the Bria, you gain an appreciation of the wonders of Hashem. Okay, that's one reason to tell awesome stories about natural sights and sounds. Again, big discussion over these literal, these things not literal. Right? Many classic sources would say these are not literal, he's just conveying a message. Maybe he actually saw some of these crazy things. We'll have to see. Umehen lahodia matan scharin shel tzadikim lasilavo. Some of the stories are to teach us the great reward that tzaddikim have in the future. Okay, it's another reason maybe we'll find interpretation in these stories. O lefarish mikros ha'amurim b'sefer Iyov ha'medabrim ba'ofos gedolim u'bahamos v'dagim gedolim. You have psukim and Iyov that talk about either big birds, right? There's the behemoth, right? Could be it's bahamos, could be it's behemos, right? Large animals, huge fish. We're going to learn about all sorts of crazy, again, huge birds that destroyed cities and fish that, you know, they thought there was an island and the fish overturned and the whole island got overturned. Really fantastic tales. And it teaches us, shekol sichas talmidei chacham mitzrichim talmud. Right? Whenever if Rabbi Bar Barachana is telling us these stories, you can read these agadot and just, you know, like gloss over them. Like, I don't know what this is talking about. Or you could try to be a deep Jew and you can learn Rabbi Nachman, and you can learn the Vilna Gaon, and you can learn the Marsha, you can learn the Tzaddikim throughout history who tried to unpack these secrets for us. Okay? So we have to take these words seriously, says the Rashi Bam. Okay? Okay, good. Fine. That's the Rashi Bam. Okay, so let's see the Gra. Let's see what the Gra says. Amar Rabba Bar Barachana Ishtauli Nechusayam Nira Lefarish. Okay, however, we're entering into very holy words. B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Dechol Eilo Hamaisim Shesiper. All of these interesting stories that Rabba Bar Barachana shares with us, Sidran ala Pasuk, they're all arranged according to the Pasuk, or the Psukim, in Tehillim Kuf Zayin. How many people here daven Nusaf Sfar? Okay. You say Haidi on Erev Shabbos? Yeah. Okay, Parak Kuf Zayin, right? It's the source for the Gemara in Brachos, right, of Dal and Tzrichim Lahodos. We say Birchas HaGomel on four different situations. Right, if you're sick, if you're in jail, and you get out of jail, if you cross the ocean, all sorts of different situations that, and it's based on these psukim of David Melech in Kapitel Kuf Zal Shem Tov, established to say on Erev Shabbos, because as you're surviving the week and going into the world of Shabbos, you have to say thank you Hashem. It's Ki'ilu, I went through all sorts of trauma, you know, and I have to say Birchas HaGomel just on surviving the week. No? Especially now that you're back in school. Okay. Fine. So the pasuk says, Yardei hayam ba'aniyos heima ra'u ma'aseh Hashem. Right? We'll see that these stories remind us of what David HaMelech said, that those who go down to the sea in aniyos, in ships, heima ra'u ma'aseh Hashem. However, what's the sea? Says the Vilna Gaon, this world is a sea. This world is a stormy sea. Says the Gra. Kamosha Kasafti Bibiuri al Yona, like I wrote in my commentary on Sefer Yona. The Vilna Gaon has an unbelievable commentary on Sefer Yona. That Yona being sent on his mission to Nineveh is the story of the Neshama being sent down to this Meshuggah world. Right? And the Neshama doesn't want to go, the same way Yona doesn't want to accept the mission. The Vilna Gaon has an unbelievable allegorical interpretation of all of Sefer Yona. Just to be clear, Yona was a real person. Yona ben Amitai was a prophet. He was a real person. But there are many layers to Torah, which means Yona could be the soul. And Ben Amitai means the soul trying to be true to itself. And Hashem sends the Neshama down to the Alma de Shikra, to this world of confusion. And the Neshama says, I don't want to go to such a place. I'm scared what's going to happen to me down there. And it should be, because this world's nuts. So as the Vilna Gaon says, as I explained already in my commentary on Yona, when Yona's also getting onto a boat, right? And the boat is chishaval yishaver, the boat is nearly shattered at sea. So the Vilna Gaon says, Sha'olam haza nikra yam. This world is called the yam. The haguf nikra aniyah. And how does your neshama travel in this world? What's the aniya? The boat. Right? The body is your boat for your neshama. The world is the ocean which we're traveling on. That it's only through the guf that the neshama is able to come down into the stormy seas of this world. So people who are what? Who are yardei hayam, like the pasuk says, like David HaMelech is saying, yardei hayam, what does it mean to go down to the sea? Sounds like you're having a yerida. You're getting a little too caught up in olam haza. So says the Gra, look at this. People who all of their actions are involved in iske olam haza, those are called yardei hayam. Now even tzaddikim who are alive in this world are also, in a sense, yardei hayam. The neshama is sent from on high down to the sea, the raging sea of this world. But if you're too busy in gashmias, then you're really a yardei hayam. Right? And then you have to be scared, you're going to drown. Like the waves of the sea that rise up and crash down, right? You're riding the waves, that means you're getting a little bit too involved and it's dangerous. If you don't know what you're doing, you can get killed. These are all quotes from that parak of Tehillim. You can sit down tonight after tonight's chair and look at Tehillim Kuf Zayin, or if it's your practice to say it on Erev Shabbos before Mincha. Right? So it's an opportunity for you to daven over the piece of Torah we're learning today. Osei malacha, those who are involved in, again, the inyanei olam haza, b'mayim rabim. Every one of us is in the, right now we're in the ocean. Right? We have to be in a very safe spot in the ocean right now. We're in a yeshiva. Right? We're learning Torah. Right? We've got our, so to speak, we have our life vest on. We're pretty safe right now. Right? We step out those doors, the ocean, you know, the waves pick up a little bit. No? Washington Heights, the waves get a little late with it. So osei malacha b'mayim rabim. B'mayim rabim. Va'al shem shehem shal tsar nikra rabim. As I explain in my commentary on the Megillus. Rabim is sometimes a code word for difficulties. Where do we see that? So in Mitzrayim, it says that as the Golus was dragging on, you can see it in footnote 5. Vayehi bayamim harabim ahem. Shmos Perek Beis Pasachav Gimel. It was during those many days. So the Medrash says on that, in Medrash and Shmos, yamim shel tsar. We were languishing in Mitzrayim for so long. Yamim rab. It felt like a really long time. Sometimes you could, you know, you're going through a difficult period and you've only been going through it for like a day, but it feels like you've been doing it for years because it's just so heavy. I'm going to try to let the Vilna Gaon do most of the talking, but when there's something important to help us better understand, I'm going to add it, even if it's not from even the Beis Medrash or the Gra. I'll tell you something that B'nai Yisachar says. B'nai Yisachar says, we know that Mitzrayim is the root of all of Galus. Right? Mitzrayim is the shorish of all Galus. The four exiles of Jewish history. Bavel, Babylonian exile, destroyed the first base in Hekdash. Paras U'Madai, that's the Purim story. Yavon, that's Hanukkah. And then Galus Edom, that's where we are today, Western culture. Korban Bayesheni, waiting for the third base of Mitzvah. There's four exiles of history. Why don't we count Mitzrayim? Because Mitzrayim is a super Galus. Mitzrayim is the root of all of Galus. All of Galus is contained in Galus Mitzrayim. It doesn't count as one of the specific exiles of history because it's an all-encompassing Galus. Does that make sense? So the B'nai Yisachar says, in Mitzrayim it was Yamim Rabim. What does Rabim stand for? Rabim stands for Galus Edom is sometimes in the Medrash called Galus Romi. There's the Romans, right? So the Reish is Romi, the Beis is Bavel, the Yud is Yavan, and the Mem is Madai. So Mitzrayim was Yamim Rabim. It encompassed all of the four exiles of Jewish history. Okay? So it says the Pasuk, Osei Malacha B'mayim Rabim. A Jew who's really drowning, right? Who's living a very Galistic existence, right? Meaning, right now we're in Galus Edom, but if you want, you could probably taste a little bit of, you know, Greek philosophy. You could tap a little bit into Babylonian culture. You could find yourself at Tzudas Achashverosh, right? Even on a Tuesday night in Washington Heights, you could probably find the Tzudas Achashverosh if you look hard enough. You could experience all types of galus. Okay? So we're describing a person, again, who's in danger at sea. Let's turn the page. Heva ra'u maseh Hashem v'nifla'osa b'mitzul sh'ro'im tamid. But even those individuals who are, so to speak, kind of, you know, bouncing along in this world, eventually they come to see how there's accountability for everything. That everything is mida b'mida. Some of us are learning Maseches Makos in the morning. Right? Many are learning Bava Basra. That's part of the reason, again, I picked this, because these are his explanations of the Agadot and Bava Basra. Right? But we're learning about Kasher Zalman. There's accountability. Mida k'neged mida. So eventually, even those people who are Yorde Hayam, even those people who are kind of getting lost at sea, eventually everyone kind of has to wake up and realize, oh my gosh, my boat is about to be destroyed. I'm getting lost in this world. And therefore, Rabba Bar Barchana, in many of these Agaratas, is going to introduce us to many of the challenges of this world. A lot of his stories have to do with things that happened at sea. So he's teaching us how to survive. He's giving us secrets how to survive the struggles of Olam Hazeh. The Kamisader Kol Midos Raus V'Tashlumeyem Shall Kol Echad V'Echad. So he's being Misader for us all of the possible bad Midos that you'll encounter in this world, right? And what can happen to you from each of them. Vayomer v'yamid ruach sa'ara v'teromeim galav v'chein misadr kan rav avrachad. Right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends sometimes a stormy wind, right, and it causes the waves to rise up. So there's all sorts of things that are trying to sink our ship. So let's enter into this one story that we learned tonight about a particular wave that's coming at us. What is the nature of this wave? It looks like a fire. It has a white tip, right, a white crest. And we strike it back with a piece of wood, a stick that has on it the name of Hashem. Well, what's going on here? Okay, so let's see. So Nechuse Yama, Heim HaMisbonin in B'tapuchos Olam Hazeh. Those are people who are misbonin, who are spending a lot of time contemplating what the tapuchos, the craziness of Olam Hazeh. And again, they're caught up in it, right? They're not contemplating it like, whoa, I have to be careful. Right? I mean, again, that's what we're hoping. We're hoping you're going to learn from this sugya that we're learning to be more careful. So the people who know how this work have shared Avar Chana. They told me the following: Hi Gala de Mitabel Svinta. Kvar Amarti Yadua Shaguf Nikra Svina. As we already explained, your body is the boat. The Kol Hatzaros Shover Malav Nikram Gala, and all the difficulties that pass over you are called waves. Right, the different things that try to sink you in this world. Kemosha Namar Kol Mishbarecha VeGalecha Alai Avar. If it's trying to destroy the ship, and the ship is your body, the Malach HaMaves can't destroy your neshama. Your neshama is forever. But your body can be killed. Your body can be taken away from this world. And it's the Malach HaMaves' job at the end of your life to come and to take back your neshama and to kill your body, because your body can't survive without a neshama. Okay? So the Malach HaMaves is trying to what? Is trying to kill a person. Dimtaba, that comes to drown a person. Tamashikosav Peirush al Yona, like I explained again in my commentary on Yona. Vuhu Yetzer Hara, Shemesis as Ha'adim Bitchila. Now, you have to know the Gemara in Bava Basra earlier in the Masechta. He quotes it here in the footnote 14, it's Bava Basra Daf Tez Zayin. The Malach HaMaves, the Yetzer Hara, and the Satan. How many characters is that? One. First, It's all one character. Three different names. The Yetzirah is the Malach HaMaves, is the Satan. It's all the same. What happens? First, it comes in the form of the Yetzirah and says, let's go do an Avera. After you do the Avera, the Yetzirah turns into the Satan, and he goes and he says, oh, look what your uncle did. He did this. He goes and tells on you. He's a Makatrik. And then, if you're in trouble, he comes back as the Malach HaMaves and says, game over. Okay? So the Gemara says in Bava Basra Daf Tez Zayin, who Yetzirah, who Satan, who Malach HaMaves. It's all one character. Okay? But I think, and again, there's a lot of room to interpret. If you have a shot, jump in and help me out. I think what he's saying, right, if you picture that image again, of the Yetzirah kind of comes down into a person and tries to get you to do the Avera, then he runs up as the Satan and tells on you, then he comes back down to get you as the Malach HaMaves. That up and down is kind of like the rising and the falling of the waves. I think that's what he's hinting to here. The Yetzirah is Mesis as Ha'adam B'tchila. First, the Yetzirah tries to, Mesis means to seduce a person. First, he tries to lure you in, he tries to catch you. Kamosha Amru, Hu Yetzirah, Hu Malach HaMaves. V'yored U'Mesis Olo Makatrin. He comes down and he tries to entice you, then he goes up and he tells on you, and then he's Yored V'notan Neshama, and he comes back down to take your Neshama. So I think that's part of the imagery of this Gemara, right? The waves that rise up and come crashing down is sort of, again, trying to drown your ship. It's sort of the Yetzirah coming down to get you, going up to tell on you, coming back down to get you.
Now, how does it appear? Top of the left column. Dimischazi kitzutzisa denura. It appears like a strip of fire. Kemaisa derav amram chasida. So we had this plus the last 2 days to have tag in our yeshiva, offering phone filters. Right. And Rabbi Penner spoke so beautifully the other day about why it's so important to try to take precautions in one's life. Right. Anyway, Tversky spoke about how even big tzaddikim sometimes get themselves into trouble because no one is immune to the Yetzer Hara. And it's like the Maisa of Amram Chasida. Did you see the Gemara I put in the WhatsApp group the other day? You saw it? The Gemara in Kedushin that I sent? It's this Gemara. Rav Amram Chasida, at the end of Maseches Kedushin, Kedushin Daf Pei Aleph. What happened with Rav Amram Chasida? They've only gone to this and tell us the whole story. What was the story? That's right, the ladder, exactly. There were some beautiful women who were somehow taken captive and they ended up staying on the second floor of Amram Chasida's, whatever, house. Like in some loft. They climbed up on a ladder, they removed the ladder, right, so that no one could go up there. There were such beautiful women that the temptation was too great. But Amram Chasida, chash of a person. By the way, the Mefarshim on the Gemara say, the only reason he got into this mess was to teach regular people like ourselves a lesson. Right? It wasn't Lefi Madre Gus, so he shouldn't have stumbled in this way, but Habib Shad, even a big tzad, could mess up. He walks by, there's like an opening in the ceiling, a small opening in the ceiling, and he sees for just a second one of these beautiful women. And his heart is so inflamed with taiva that he runs and he grabs a ladder. Like the Gemara says, it would have taken many, many people to move such a ladder. He puts the ladder in place and he's climbing up to try to solicit this woman for a Dvar Avera, a Maven Yavin. He's halfway up the ladder, all of a sudden he realizes that he's about to do a horrible Avera. So he starts to scream, there's a fire in the house of Amram, there's a fire in the house of Amram. His colleagues come running to see what's going on. They see Rav Amram climbing up to hang out at the sorority upstairs. And they say, Rav Amram, you embarrassed us. And Rav Amram says, I'd rather be embarrassed in this way, you know, like catching myself, calling you in to catch me, though I'm embarrassed. Chashav Rav, what are you doing? Soliciting women on the ladder. He says, I'd rather embarrass myself, honestly, and make the rabbis feel a little disappointed in me than the punishment I'm going to get if I actually went through with this. Right? And then the Gemara says, and here's the line right here, look, Ashpe'e li Yitzre di Yinfak minay. He made his Yitzhara, he forced his Yitzhara to Yinfak minay, to leave him. He said, after this type of near, you know, fatally spiritual fatality, I need to do something to exile my Yetzihara. So he took an oath to exile, to chase his Yetzihara out of him. Nafik minei, take a look, ka'amuda denura. And the Yetzihara left him, it exited him like what? Like a pillar of fire. Yetzihara's mamash, a fire burning inside of us. It says the Vilna Gaon. When you see a wave coming at you, and it looks like a fire, right? So when the Yetzihara is coming at you, full force. Now, be careful though. If the Yetzihara is a fire, who doesn't run away from a fire? No? Lo alein, if you're near a fire and it's threatening, you run, no? Get to safety. So why do we always fall into the traps of the Yetzihara? How do we get so sucked in? How so foolish to fall for his seduction? How does that happen? What's the answer? What was on the tip of the white fire? Oh. What was on the tip of the fire? Right? A little white on the tip. What's the white? How does the Yetzihara get us? The Yetzihara is very creative, and he finds a way to paint himself white. You know that one of our biggest enemies in Jewish history, you don't even appreciate that he's one of our biggest enemies.
Lava.
Rav Moshe David Vali, who was a Talmud of the Ramchal, the Ramdu, Rav Moshe David Vali. I saw once in his Sfarim, he says that Lavan, his name is white, but he's redder than the darkest red. Red is like Midas Hadin, you know? Red is the antithesis. Lavan is chesed. Lavan's very positive. We dress in white on Yom Kippurim. Right? Sometimes an enemy disguised in white is the scariest thing. That's why he's such a trickster. Think about what Lavan's doing, right, with Yaakov. So he sees, next paragraph, Chivarta Beresha. Chivarta means white. He sees whiteness at the tip. Because when the Yetzirah first comes to get you, he tries to convince you that he's here to help you. Right, come on, let's have a good time. He makes it appealing, attractive. Sometimes he even makes it look from. He tricks you to stay up late learning the base medrash so that you'll sleep through davening the next day. He has all sorts of from svaras, right, as to why this makes sense. Maralo Chamishim Simanei Tara Shemutter. He'll give you every rationalization in the books. He'll give you 50 proofs that what you're about to do is a mutter. And then after, of course, you do the Avera. You kick yourself and you say, why am I so stupid? Why did I do that again? I don't want to do that. I always feel disgusting after I do that Avera. Why did I do that? How did I fall for that? How did I fall for that trick again? Right? I convince myself it's a mitzvah to speak Lashon Hara about this bad guy, and then afterwards I feel gross. Like, why? He's not such a bad guy. How did I think that was mutter? What was I thinking? Kamosha Namar, he quotes the psukim in Mishlei. Look at these psukim, very powerful psukim. Ki nofes titoifna sifse zara. Like nofes, like a sweet, like some type of sweet oil. It's dripping, sifse zara. Right? Sifse zara means the lips, the lips of zara, like a avodah zara. Right? The lips that are foreign. In other words, a person, you know, again, Mishlei is speaking in the mashal of a man who's falling into the seduction of an attractive woman. Right? So her lips are dripping. This woman who's not permitted to you, her lips, you see her lips and it's like dripping with temptation. But of course, after a person is nichshal, what's the next pasuk? V'achrisa mara kalana. But afterwards it's bitter like a certain type of wood that has a very bitter, you know, or some type of herb that has a very bitter taste to it. Chada kacherev pios. It's sharp like a double-edged sword. You realize you could have destroyed one stupid avera, you could destroy your entire life. One bad choice. A moment of adulterous seduction, and you ruin your reputation, you ruin your marriage, you ruin your life. Shehu charva de malach hamaves. And what's this imagery of the sword? It's the cherev, it's the sword of the malach hamaves that the Gemara describes in Maseches Avodah Zarah. In Maseches Avodah Zarah it says that when the time to die comes, I don't mean to scare anyone, it's a little bit of a scary Gemara, but the malach hamaves comes to you and he has a drop of poison on the tip of his sword. And when you see him, you get so frightened, you open your mouth, and he drops this drop of poison into you, and that's how you die. So the Gemara says, Avodah Zarah daf chaf. But again, at first you're opening your lips, right? You want to, you know, the seduction, you want to kiss this beautiful woman. And then you realize the Malach HaMavis is putting poison in your mouth. You're finished. You're done. Tipa mara tluyaba. The Malach HaMavis comes to you with the sword, with a bit of a drop, a tipa of mara, of poison on its tip, hanging from it. And Raglea Yardos Mavis, it's the end of the pasuk. Right? It drags you down to death. V'choza gorim lanu shibun malchus v'atzars. But now, Chevra, as we start to come now to the tikkun, as we come to the weapon that we're going to use to fight off this terrible seduction, the Vilna Gaon says, but I know you're a good Jew. I know you're an Erlechiyah. Right? It's Chodesh El. I know you want to be close to Hashem. And I know you're embarrassed of bad choices you made all year round. We all did. So the Vilna Gaon says, let me give you your excuses. Not that we should use them and we shouldn't abuse the excuses, but the real excuses. How did all this happen to us? How do we fall for these tricks? How do we mess up? How does this come to be? Two things. The Gemara and Brachos. Kol zegorim lanu shibud masva hatzaros. It happens because we're in Galus. And we're in Yitzhahara. That's our excuse. Hashem, you gave me Yitzhahara, and you put me in Galus. You took away the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have prophets, Beis HaMikdash. What do you expect from me? I go to yeshiva in Washington Heights, New York. I'm not in Yerushalayim here, Kodesh. I never saw the Kohen Gadol, Mari Kohen. I get to sing about it on Yom Kippur, but I never saw my eyes, Mari Kohen. So of course I'm a stupid, you know, guy who makes mistakes times. So all of this is because of Shibud Malchios. Shibud Malchios means the enslavement, the captivity of the exile. Kamayim Rebbe Alexandri. Like the Gemara says, how did Rebbe Alexandri end his Shemona Esrei? Take a look. Basar Tzolusei, when he finished his davening, he would say the following tefillah. Ribon kol ha'olamim. Chavi, this is such a beautiful tefillah. Brachos daf yod zayin. Master of the universe. Galoi v'yadua lifanecha shiritzoneinu la'asos ritzoneinecha. Hashem, you know that I want to do ratzon Hashem. You know it, Hashem. You know in my heart of hearts, I'm a good guy. I want to do the right thing. Umi ma'akev? ? But what stops me? What holds me back? Two things. Sa'ur shebi'isa. The leaven in the dough. Right? When I should be matzah, but I turn it to chametz. In other words, the Yetzirah. V'shibud malchios. And the fact that we're in Galus. If you didn't put a Yetzirah inside, if you take up my Yetzirah, you'd see I'm such a bentara, I'm such a good guy. And if I wasn't living in a world where they're selling all sorts of shtus, you know, I'd make good choices. I'm a good person. I want to do good things. But it's a hard world. I have Yetzirah inside of me. I have the exile all around me. How should I survive? Perush, ki lule shibud malchios, lo haynu menichin ha-so'or lahachmitz. Because if not, for what? How do you keep something matzah? Got to do it fast, right? 18 minutes. The truth is, as long as you keep working with the dough, it doesn't become chametz. It's only when it's left for 18 minutes that it starts to rise. So why did we leave the dough? Let's imagine that our body's the dough for a second. Yeah? How did we allow ourselves to be filled with this tumma? How did we become chametz? The answer is we got distracted. Well, why weren't we tending to the dough? Why weren't we taking care of ourselves? And the answer is because we're living in a hard world. We're living in a galus. Right? If not for the sheep, lule sheep and malchus, lo hayinu menichan asor lahachmitz. Had we not been distracted by galus, we never would have become chametz. That's why when it was time for Hashem to save us, He raised us out of Mitzrayim, and He said, I'm going to show you, you can be shayach to the world of matzah. You can be a yid. Kamo shenemar, He quotes here the pasuk in Shemos, in Shemos Parakid Beis, v'yofu es habatzik, right? They bake the dough, matzos. Why? Ki garshu Mitzrayim. When you leave Mitzrayim, when you leave Galus, you go back to the world of matzah. In Galus, though, the Yetzirah turns you into chametz. Right? You become inflated. You become heavy. Right? You become puffed up. You get filled with gaiva and taiva, and they're all connected, as we'll see from all these different agadotas. Okay, go to the top of the next page. But when they left Mitzrayim, then they were able to enter into the world of matzah. V'herich b'zeh baal shin aleph. The Baal Shin Aleph. The Perish Agada. Who is he quoting? Shin Aleph explains this concept more in his commentary on the Agadata, probably over there in Brachos Daf Yad Zayin. Who's Shin Aleph? The Maharsha. Right? Shmuel Edels. Okay? So the Maharsha over there, you can look at that Gemara when Rav Alexandri davens his tefillah, if not for the chametz inside of me, I'd be a good Jew. He's ma'arech on this idea. Okay? But uvegalus chazru shteyim. But in galus, these two things come back. So orsha beisa, the leaven in the dough, kamoshenemra, like the pasuk says, describing the end of days. The pasuk in Hosea, it says milush batzik ad chumtzaso, that the enemy is going to cause us what? Is going to stop us milush batzik from being metapa with the dough. We're not going to be able to take care of the dough, and it's going to become chametz. We're overwhelmed by galus. Well, this could also just be a lot of homework that you have to take care of tonight. And it's causing you to be distracted during Ma'ariv. So your Ma'ariv became chametz instead of being a nice matzah for Hashem. So these things come back to us in Galus. Okay? But here's the punchline, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us two promises. In the footnote it says, Haftachos, two promises. Hashem says, I'm going to be mechazik you. You're going to get through this. Your boat is not going to sink at sea. You're going to survive the waves. Hashem gave us two promises. Achas, sha'af b'galus yatzil osanu mikol tzara. In Galus, Hashem says, I'm not going to leave your side, not for a second. Kamoshen amar va'af gamzos b'yosem be'eretz oyveyem lo ma'astim. That even when you're found in the land of your enemies, lo ma'astim, what does mios mean? You should be disgusting. You're not going to be disgusting to me. Hashem says, I'm never going to say you're too disgusting. You might look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm disgusted by my avarice. Hashem says, I'm not disgusted by you. Because I know it's hard in Galus. And I'm still by your side. Imo anochi bitzara. As the Vilna Gaon quotes here. V'chein imo anochi bitzara. I'm with you in your pain. I haven't abandoned you. That's one promise Hashem gives us.
Now we're in 50 right now.
This is level 50. The Or Chaim HaKadosh says in Shmos Perek Gimel that before Mashiach comes, we're going to be in level 50. That's right. The Or Chaim HaKadosh says they couldn't go to 50. If they would have gone to 50, they would have drowned there because they didn't have Torah. With Torah, you can go to level 50 and still come back. As long as you have Torah, you can survive anything. It's Gavaldik. Rav Matul Zilber, Mr. Chinar Rebbe, said a number of years ago on a Shushan Purim, in a very drunken state, he had a whole drasha about how the 50 states in America correspond to the Shahr HaNun, And just like the Medrash talks about two types of Gehenim that we all have to go through at the end of our life, there's a Gehenim Shel Eish and a Gehenim Shel Shelig. Right? We usually picture a hot Gehenim. There's a hot Gehenim and a cold Gehenim. So he said, the 50 states, there's 48 states, and then there's Hawaii and Alaska, which is hot and cold. They had a whole drush about how the Gullus America is, you know, this is the Shahar Nun, and but Torah's, right? Ruchayim Velozhner said that Torah's last stop is going to be in America. We're doing it now. We're learning Torah in Washington Heights, New York. We're doing it. These are the final tikkunim before Mashiach comes. This is the last stop. We're making it happen right now. Okay? So first of all, we should know with confidence that Hashem is with us. Vashenis, and second of all, Sheyivtiach lanu legaoleinu min hagalus. Right? Not only is Hashem going to sit by our side and suffer with us, but eventually we're actually going to get out of here. We have to believe. We have a promise. This is not forever. V'harishon yivtiach lanu b'mitzrayim. So now, how do we defeat this wave that's trying to sink our ship with its seductive white crest? How do we fight back? You take a staff. You take a piece of wood. Maybe it's an Eitz Chaim Yilamachazikim, but maybe it's the Torah itself. I'm not sure.
Or Tefillah.
Right? It's Tefillah. Okay. And what is written on it? What do we say is written on it? Eka Asher Eka. Right? That name of Hashem. Yud and Hei, Ka. And then Hashem Tzavakos. Three different names of Hashem. So first of all, Hashem promised us a Mitzrayim, Eheya Asher Eheya. What does that mean? Remember Rashi? Ani Asher Eheya Imachem B'Shibud Zeh, V'Aheya Imachem B'Shibud Malchios. That's Hashem's promise to be with us. Eheya, I will be with you when you're suffering now. I'll be with you wherever you're suffering in the future. And in terms of the promise to take you out of Gullus, V'Al Hasheni, L'Go Aleinu Min HaGullus, Yesh Lanu Mashkon. We have collateral. What's the collateral? This was the biggest chiddush for me. Of all the things we've learned tonight, this I never saw anywhere else. That doesn't mean so much. I haven't learned that much. But this way of reading this pasuk is a big chiddush. Look what he says. Shenemar kiyad al kes ka. What's that pasuk? Who knows what that pasuk is? Where's that pasuk?
It's like a malik.
It's under Mishalach, right. Kiyad, the hand of a malik, is al kes. Kes is the kisei. Of Ka, of Yud and Hei. A Malik is blocking out Hashem's Kisei from being complete. That's why it's Kase, not Kisei. Missing an Aleph. And it's Yud and Hei. It's missing the second half of Hashem's name. It's missing the Vav in that. Okay? But you know what he's saying here? V'amru Chazal, let's just finish the line. She'ein Shemo v'kiso Shalem. Hashem's name and his throne will be incomplete until he redeems us. But what did the Vilna Gaon say? We have collateral. You know what Hashem is saying? You know what the Vilna Gaon is saying? In interpreting this, we usually see it as a Malik is blocking out Hashem. Right? It's Hashem suffering. A Malik is obscuring Hashem's presence in this world. And like the Medrash says, when we remove a Malik, then Hashem will establish his throne and his name complete. Begiloi. But in a certain sense, you know what Hashem is saying? Hashem kind of, the Yad al Kes Ka, it sounds like it's our Yad al Kes Ka. That we're holding on to Hashem's throne, and we're saying, Hashem, we're not going to let you. Until you take us with you, until you save us, we're not, you can't just go make a nice kingdom for yourself. That's what it sounds like. You can't have a full name, you can't have full expression, you can't have your nice comfy throne, kiviyachol, to sit on. Until you take us out, which is, again, habuhatalia, with, right, that's equally connected to the removal of a malik, but until you take us out, we have collateral. We're not giving you back your throne. We're not giving you back your name. So we have two promises from Hashem. Number one, I'll suffer with you in Gullus. Eheya Asher Eheya. And furthermore, Yud and Hey, this partial name of Hashem, we're holding on. We're stopping you from coming to full expression until you save us. That's our mashko. That's the collateral that we have. It's an amazing way to say it. It's a very different way to say it. There's a lot to think about. Someone remind me Purim time. We'll think about it more together. Okay? Ve'inyan Shemo Yadua. So what is Hashem's name? Kamosha Amar Rabba Seinu Zal Amar Rabba Lazar Bar Yaakov. We live in a world where Hashem's name is not fully expressed. We live in a world of shtei osios. We live in a world of yud and hey. What do we say every morning in our davening? Kol haneshama tahalel ka yud and hey. Right? That every soul praise the fact that at least we still have yud and hey. At least we got something to hold on to. So the Gemara says dayo, like dayenu. It's enough for the world to survive with half a name, with two letters. Shenemar kol haneshama tahalel ka. V'inyan kiso, and the idea of Hashem's throne, gam ken yadua, ki gdulaso u malchuso hu al yidei Yisrael. The throne is incomplete Right? If the people, if his subjects are not really properly part of the kingdom, if we feel that we're slaves to godless Edom, if we're too, you know, secularized by American culture, so then Hashem's kingdom is not much of a kingdom, because we're more American than we're Jewish. So Hashem's throne is incomplete. When we're in a state of lowliness and exile, ein malchuso shlema, Hashem's throne is incomplete. So when we cross the sea, look how amazing these teachings are. When we made it through the Yam Suf, by Kriyas Yam Suf, we made it safe through the water, so safe we didn't even get wet. What do we say when we got to the other side? What do we sing in Oz Yashir? Hashem Yimloch Li Olam Vayar. Now we can build a kingdom together. Now Hashem can be a king. Ki Ein Melech Belo Tzava. Because until Hashem establishes the legions of Klal Yisrael, until there's a proud and confident Klal Yisrael, until you have yeshivas that are full, until you have an IDF that is confident, a Jewish nation, you know, until you have a Klal Yisrael that can pick their head up, so to speak, the Ein Nikra Hashem Tzivakos Ad Sheyigal Es Tzivao VeYimloch Alayim. Until Hashem has an army, until we become Tzivos Hashem, yeah, then Hashem's throne is not complete. Kamoshanamar Goalino Hashem Tzivakos. When Hashem has an army, when Hashem has a Klal Yisrael, that's Choshev, that gives honor to the king. V'chofra ha'levana uvosha ha'chama, says the Navi, the moon will be embarrassed and the sun will be disgraced. Kimala Hashem Tzivakos. In other words, people sometimes worship the sun, the moon, the stars, and it's a disgrace to Hashem. When the Jewish people return to their glory, and therefore Hashem returns to His glory, Malach Hashem Tzivakos, it's going to be gavaldik. Like a pasuk says, Goalam Chazak Hashem Shemo. Hashem Tzivakos Shemo. V'chein ki Malach Hashem Tzivakos. Many psukim that express this idea. So now we understand the punchline. Last part, we're up to the end. V'zeo she'amru, u'machinan lei ba'alvasa. So we fight against the Yetzer Hara in all of its deception with a stick, d'chokik alei eka asher eka ka Hashem Tzivakos. Why are those names on the stick? He explains. Uve'ezes chos anachna mitzapin kol zeh. In what merit do we feel that we can do this? V'pnei shekol ha'es oris tzarach lios milamata. And here's the punchline. Yes, Hashem gave us a promise. Ehayah asher ehayah, I'll be with you. Yes, Hashem told us, yud and hey, it's enough to survive with half of my name. And that's part of my promise that I'm going to save you. Yes, Hashem tzavakos, one day you're going to be a glorious nation and a powerful nation. You're not going to be embarrassed. You're going to be schlepping around, beat up by your yitzhar, feeling like a loser. Those days are going to be over, eventually. But you need to pick up the stick and you need to fight. His oiris has to come ilamata. Don't wait for Hashem to save your ship. Save yourself. His oiris has to come ilamata. Like the Gemara says in Sota, Amr b'Shimon ben Gamaliel, miyom shechara beis hamikdash, ein lecha kol yom v'yom shekelasom ru mechaveru. From the time of Chorban Beis Hamikdash, the world is getting crazier and crazier. Ba'alma al-makayma. So what? How do we survive? Again, we sort of answered it. You got to take the stick in your hand to fight back. But the Gemara says, Akidusha desidra va'amein yeheshmei rabba. You know how we survive? The Ashrei uvalitzion at the end of our davening, and amein yeheshmei rabba. But how does that save us? V'chein matzelas osanu la'olam haba. It saves us for Olam Haba as well. What does that mean? Let's keep reading. Kamo she'amru kol ha'ona amein ba'olam haza, zoche va'ona la'olam haba. If you say amein in this world, you'll be zoche to say it in the next world. Shenamar amein ve'amein. Chavar, go back. What was written on the stick? Remember what the Gemara said? It says, Eka Asher Eka. It says, Hashem. It says, Yud Kei. It says, Hashem Tzavakos, amein, amein, Selah. Which means like Amen, Amen forever. What is Amen? What is Amen? Kel Melech Ne'aman. Amen means I'm a believer and I'm trying to do my part. I'm picking up the stick and I'm fighting back. Turn to the last page. Vezesha Amru B'Shavas. This is what the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos. Amr Reish Lakish. Of all people, Reish Lakish, who himself was a big Baal Tshuva. Right? You know the story of Reish Lakish. Kol Ha'ona Amen B'chol Kocha. If you can say a real Amen in this world, if you can say a real Amen, a real confident Ani Mamin, Amen, I'm a believer, Kel Melech Ne'aman. I trust Hashem, I trust the process, I believe in Torah, I believe in myself. Kol Ha'ona Amen B'chol Kocho, Pos Ashari Gan Eden. He has access to Gan Eden. Shenema, Pishu Sha'arim V'yavo Tzadik Shomer Emunim, says the Gemara, Al Tikrei Shomer Emunim, not only one who guards the faith, Elisha Omrim Amen. Shomer Emunim, those who say Amen. That's Shomer Emunim, Shomerim Amim, that they say Amen Amen. Not just Amen in this world, but you'll be Zuchto and Amen in the next world. In other words, you're going to make it. Your ship's not going to sink. Here is Shnei Amen. Vizel Ukan Amen Amen Selah. Amen Amen forever. And if you can do that in a courageous, the last word in the Gemara, Vinayach. And your boat's going to cruise nicely through the storm. You'll have the Yishuv with us. Good stuff, Dan, huh? Unbelievable. A tiny little legato that most people, they read through it and they say, oh, whatever. But the Vilna Gaon can unpack a tiny line of Gemara. And it's the halacha l'maisa. It's the whole sugya of your entire life, from the day you're born to the day you die. Try to make it through the yam. Yeah, Rizal says that one of the kavanos for the month of Elul, right, is based on the pasuk Hanosin Bayam Derech, trying to find our way through the ocean in this world. That's what it means to be a Baal Tshuva, to find a path, a derech in the ocean. Right? I was saying to some of the guys who were on campus for the first time, who were on the, you know, the YU opening night boat trip. I said, that's why we go on a, that's why YU takes people out on a boat at the beginning of the Zman, in Elul. Because it's an expression of Hanosin Bayam Derech. It's a reminder how difficult life could sometimes be. You have a good chevra, and you go through a bain, and you're a shkichim, you get some good food, you know. You have a little kumzitz on the boat, and you'll find a way, you'll be fine. You'll be out on the water, before you know, you'll be back on dry land, and it was great, everything's fine. No troubles on the sea. Okay, so you should be zochet to travel safely through this world. What do you say, Avi? Let's hear. Okay, I'm going to try to keep the shiur a little bit shorter in the future, so if this was too long for anyone,